after I throw up, I like kind of collapse onto my back and I shut the door and I am out. I'm gone.
Oh my God. Whoa.
Moments pass by because I'm still like kind of conscious about like what's going on. And I realize that I'm laying down on the bathroom floor, wedged between the wall and the closed door. I'm seeing literally out of like a tiny circle this entire time. And I'm laying down on the ground.
Did the wife know that how serious this was? Or she's just like, eh.
I start like yelling her name and she like doesn't hear me at first because this bathroom's like kind of away from our living room. And so
she turned up the movie when you left.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Personality Hires Podcast, your coworker's favorite podcast. You've got Rebecca.
Hey guys, what's up?
And you've got Mikey.
Yep.
And you've got myself. Abby is running late today. We don't really know why, but
she's fired. What do you guys say we call her Cosmo without mentioning it?
That would be really funny.
That'd be pretty original.
I think that would go, I think that's going to crush.
That's going to be really good. Yeah. All right, Jackson, something extremely concerning happened this weekend, and I feel like we need to bring this all to the surface because Jackson had invited me out to a comedy show to see Stavros Halkiakis. I never know how to say the last name.
Stavros Halkiakis.
Oh, okay.
Oh my God, Halkiakis.
She muted herself right in the middle of a joke.
Oh,
fuck.
Classic
that
Cosmo.
Was a good one too.
Classic Cosmo.
Classic Cosmo.
Cosmo, you never fail. All right, as I was saying, Jackson and I were supposed to go see Stavros at the Tabernacle. He's a comedian. And yeah, we were really gearing up to it. And I texted him day of, secretly being like, uh-oh, I don't know if I can go tonight. I have too much going on. And I say, are we still going? And he says, I don't know. Jackson's dying is basically what's going on.
I said something really fucked up happened to me last night. I think that's what I said.
What occurred?
Yeah.
We've been trying to go to some comedy shows lately, and I feel like I've been having more of a keen eye out on like the comedians who are coming to Atlanta, and it's not that many this year, so I was excited to hear that Stavros was coming because I think he's a funny dude, and I was like, Mikey's my go-to partner in crime when it comes to comedy stuff, so I was like, this would be perfect for us to go to. So I was thinking about buying tickets, and I could tell he was a little wishy-washy because you were working all day on Saturday and like wasn't really sure what the vibes are. But anyway, so Friday night, I was like, all right, I'm going to take it pretty easy tonight and just kind of hang out. And, you know, maybe tomorrow we'll get a little bit more rowdy when it comes to hanging out with Mikey, because that's what always happens when we hang out together. That's despite right. our efforts of not doing that, mm-hmm. it inevitably ends up out of control.
Yeah, that's actually the only way I agreed to it. I said, Easter's the next day. We have to be chill. And that was not going to happen at all.
We all know that was never going to happen. No. So maybe this was for the best that we didn't end up going, because Friday night, trying to figure out what to do, keeping it a chill day, chill evening with my fiance, and we're like, oh, you know what it's time for? It's time to watch Interstellar. We watched this movie. I have watched this movie at least once a year, every year since it came out. It is my number one favorite movie that I've ever seen in the entire world. I try to limit the amount of times that I watch it because I want it to have that profound effect on me every time we do commit to watching it. And so I kind of save it. And so last Friday was the day that this was going to happen. So we were like all geared up and ready to go.
I did see you post on your story that you were watching it, and I wanted to reply and say, I'm begging you to watch any other movie ever.
I know. It's the only one he's ever seen.
But I didn't want to ruin the moment for you, so I let it go.
I understand. Nice. I mean, it's a big deal. Like this evening is like a big deal. And so prior to that, I probably had like a glass and a half of bourbon, like just a chill Friday wind down. All in, I probably had 2.5, maybe 3 standard drinks of bourbon. Okay. Nothing crazy. I also decided to smoke a little bit prior to watching.
Wow, he does drugs. Camel. He's so cool.
Yes, and for all the cops and narcs listening to this right now, it was legal Delta 8 marijuana.
It was Marlboro Light.
Yeah.
It was a mango-scented Juul.
Yeah, exactly. It was mango Juul. And so nothing like too crazy. So I smoked a little bit, had a few drinks, whatever. Like just the I was riding like the perfect level of being in the exact right headspace to watch this movie. Okay. So we're watching it and we're like an hour into it and we're probably 30 minutes past me partaking in any of these illicit substances. Okay. And all of a sudden I'm like, man, I'm like a little lightheaded. Like I feel a little dizzy. Like maybe I'll just like kind of lay down a little bit more because I was.
So
like,
you were sitting down already?
Yeah. Well, we're sitting on the couch watching this movie. Okay. So then I like lay down on my side, trying to think that that'll make me feel better. And I'm like pounding water too because I'm like maybe I'm just like super dehydrated. Who knows? And as I'm laying there, like I'm laying down for no less than 30 seconds, a minute, and I'm like, God, wait, I'm like really dizzy right now. I kind of feel like I need to throw up. So then I'm like, look at my fiance and I go, I'm not feeling great. I think I need to throw up. And she's like, wait, what? And my mind is already like racing and I stand up. And you know, when you get that head rush feeling where like you kind of almost black out. I stood up and I start walking towards the bathroom and like my vision just goes straight into like a pinhole. Like I can feel all of the world collapsing into like one singular point and my hands and my face are like buzzing, vibrating.
Oh my God.
Kind of like panic anxiety attack feeling, like coupled with this intense dizziness and nausea. So I make it probably 10 steps and I'm like, oh shit, like I'm actually about to pass out. So I full blown take a knee and I'm like, whoa. I'm running through the scenario in my head because I'm like, I did not do enough to warrant me feeling like this. And so while I'm taking a knee, I'm like, oh my God, like I'm actually going to throw up right now. So I'm like, I need to get to the bathroom. So I scramble over to our bathroom and I get to the toilet and I kind of throw up and it's all just water. It's all the water that I had just chugged. So it was like nothing like that crazy. And I'm like, you know, when you throw up, like all the blood rushes to your head again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that happens. And I immediately like slump down and sit down. And this bathroom that I'm in is really small. It's like the master bedroom bathroom where it has like the shower and tub and everything. But then there's like a separate tiny bathroom where the toilet is. And so after I throw up, I like kind of collapse onto my back and I shut the door and I am out. I'm gone.
Oh my God. Whoa.
And so I don't like moments pass by because I'm still like kind of conscious about like what's going on. And I realize that I'm laying down on the bathroom floor, wedged between the wall and the closed door. So I'm like, if my fiance is going to come in and check on me, she won't be able to open the door because I'm completely blocking it the way that I'm laying down, right?
Let me ask you this. Between the taking the knee and everything, did the wife know that how serious this was? Or she's just like, eh.
She was still kind of cued into the movie. Like she heard what I had said. And
she didn't pause the movie?
No. She paused the movie, but like was just kind of thinking that I was just like not really feeling great. She didn't realize like the severity of like what was going on.
Were you experiencing interstellar time where every second was actually a year for your old?
That's certainly what it felt like. My mind's still reeling about like what I did to make myself feel like this. And I'm like, did I green out from like taking three hits of like this stuff? Like what is going on with me right now? And so I realized that she won't be able to open the door if I pass out again, right? So I open the door and I just like flop out onto the bathroom floor. And at this point, I'm realizing like I'm about to like pass out again because my vision is like I'm seeing literally out of like a tiny circle this entire time. And I'm laying down on the ground. And so I start like yelling her name and she like doesn't hear me at first because this bathroom's like kind of away from our living room. And so
she turned up the movie when you left.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
She's like, God, jeez, why are you being so fucking loud right now? She's like, what, what's going on? And she runs over and I am just full blown collapsed out on the ground. And she comes up to me and she's like, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? And I can't even talk. I'm just kind of like groaning.
Oh my God.
And finally, she like comes and sits down next to me and like puts my head in her lap and is just sort of like telling, you know, like trying to reassure me that things are going to be okay. Aww. And
she
after,
doesn't know that.
She's lying to you.
After like a minute, I start to like feel a little bit kind of better where I can like form sentences. And I was like, whoa, like I don't know what just happened, but I cannot get up right now. So I lay there and we sit there for probably, I don't know, 15 minutes or so. And she's like, all right, like, are you good enough to like stand up and get to the bed? Right. And so I'm like, yeah, I think so. I stand up and my legs feel like they have 200-pound weights attached to them. Like, I am stumbling, falling into the walls of my apartment, trying to, like, get to the bed. And I collapse into bed and almost instantly fall asleep.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, she probably shouldn't let you go to sleep at a time like that.
So she did come and check in on me, like, every 5 minutes for, like, the first hour, making sure that, like, I was on my side and, like, good, because the nausea had basically gone away at this point, and I was sort of in and out for a little bit of, like, the first 30 minutes of me laying there, and I, like, remember her coming in and checking on me, and then next thing I know it, I just woke up the next morning, and I felt pretty normal.
Did she finish the movie?
She did.
She did?
Yeah.
Without the nausea.
Yeah, I mean, what else was she going to do?
Making sure that you're breathing?
Which she did. She came in and checked up on me. And there was only like, I don't know, probably 45 minutes left of the movie. And so she finished it. And then I woke up the next day and I was like, what the hell happened? And I still don't have clear answers. I felt a little bit kind of woozy, dizzy in the morning. But then for the most part, took it easy. And like, I feel fine now. Like, I've been just operating totally normally now. But it was kind of terrifying.
That's honestly horrifying. Okay. Honestly, I have a theory. I really think it's the Delta 9 over the plain weed, because that's why I remember I had that season. I was trying to become a pothead because I thought it'd be better for me than alcohol. And every single time I had Delta 9, I would have the whole green out freak out, where literally I'd be rocking back and forth being like, life isn't real. This is a simulation. We're all aliens. What am I doing here? Where's my mom?
But that's just getting high.
Yeah. You're doing it right.
It was one time
it's fine.
When we were in California, I think I had like a hit of just regular weed. And I remember telling someone like, oh, is this what you guys normally feel? Like, I get it. Like, this is pretty like sick. And then I think somebody gave me a Delta 9 gummy after that. And then like 2 or 3 hours later, I remember feeling it hit in the shower and going, oh no, oh no, oh no.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Let's do doctor here. My name is Dr. Rebecca. What's my name?
Dr. Dinkelstorfen.
Dr. Dinkelstorfen. And Jackson is my patient.
Yes.
Now, Jackson, you came in here today because you got tunnel vision, you had weight on your legs, and you passed out, and your girlfriend finished the movie without you, yes?
Correct.
That's what it says here on your chart.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Do you have cats, sir?
I do. I have two.
Have you considered toxoplasmosis?
No, enlighten me on what that is, Dr.
I believe, if my chart here is correct, there can be a bird that poops, and if your cat somehow comes in contact with that, it is able to pass that disease on to you, and maybe you could be experiencing some ill effects of toxoplasmosis. Yes?
Well, here's the thing, Dr. Doofenshmirtz. I have two cats, but they are purely indoor cats, so there's no way they could have ever even been in contact with bird poop in the first place.
You probably brought it in, you pervert. Get out of my office.
Okay, I'm the nurse. What's my name, Mikey?
Lisa.
I'm Nurse Lalisa. and I have... I'm Nurse Lalisa. I'm moonlighting from Blackpink. And okay. I have a couple of serious questions. Like, did you eat enough that day?
Yep, I had, we got Blaze pizza that evening. Ooh, okay. And I had probably 2 or 3 slices of Blaze pizza. So I was nourished. Mm-hmm. I had been drinking water all day.
If Mikey's the doctor and Rebecca is the nurse, then I'm the surgical coordinator at the end who says, Jackson, I think you need a nose job. It's going to be $19,000.
You've been diagnosed with being ugly, so you're going to need a nose job, and that'll fix up your fainting problem. Lickety split.
Your mirror couldn't take it. All right.
I have a real theory, and that is that I don't know. I mean, it sounds like you ate enough. Sometimes eating not great before drinking and smoking will make you feel worse. But one overcorrection that a lot of people do when they start not feeling well is chugging water. And that's actually not a great idea, because that, if you're chugging water like that, it can stop your breathing. Like, you're not breathing enough in like a measured way. And that can affect sort of like that can make you feel out of it. And that could, I think, potentially make you actually faint, or like, if you are like getting up and walking around and you're already feeling lightheaded, I think that could push you over the edge. So
dumbass drank too much water, forgot to breathe.
I mean, that's fair. It's kind of like sort of hyperventilating, sort of like holding your breath while you're drinking water, like whatever the case may be. And I don't remember exactly when I was doing that, but I do know that like right before I laid down for those 30 seconds to a minute, and also I think midway through me doing that, I was like pounding water, thinking that I was maybe just dehydrated.
Yeah. And if you're pounding water, that is like one of the number one ways to make yourself throw up. If you're already not feeling well and you start chugging water, all that water is just going to come back up, just like you said.
Yeah, I didn't throw up like any food. It was purely just the water that I had just drank. And this was I've had my share of bad nights where I've had too much to drink and then smoked, and you get the spins really badly. And like, I've had that feeling before. This was not the same. And I think it was coupled with a minor panic attack at the same time that it was happening, because I was getting just sensory overload from everything that I was feeling, and like really, really uncomfortable. And that's where I feel like that like tingling, buzzing feeling in my face and my hands comes from, because I know that is a symptom of mine when I have had panic attacks in the past. So it was a combination of all this stuff that happened, and it was genuinely very scary. And I was like making peace with God, being like, I think this might be it. Like,
oh my
this
God.
Is bad.
Yeah. I'll never smoke weed again. Just kidding.
I believe I have my prognosis Jones here. These all sound like a lot of similar symptoms to the ones that my lady goes through. You, sir, are diagnosed with POTS. That actually sounds a lot like it. Did your hands feel like crab hands?
I thought you were about to say golem. PMS. Do you think Jackson just PMS?
You have PMS.
He's in his luteal phase.
No, the tunnel of light, all that kind of stuff, the falling down, the getting sick, all that, that's classic POTS for you, brother. And you're going to need some salt and sodium. Is that the same thing, maybe?
Mikey, it's not POTS. It's just pot, I think. I think you just had a little bit too much.
Maybe. It could have been a mix.
Yeah.
You should never mix pot with pots.
Never.
Tell that to your lady.
Yeah. Hey. Well, Jackson, I'm glad you survived. But there Thank is somebody who you. Is currently dying on the internet, and that person is none other than Blake Lively, because justice is almost about to be served and the people are yearning and begging for Rebecca and I to comment on this, since I think a year ago, me and you had a very tense interaction on the Personality Hires podcast over this court case.
Oh, joy. We have to talk about Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni again.
Oh, wait, it's actually them two again?
It's a continuation.
They finally
they
were in
stopped
court.
Touching each other.
Oh no, I thought this was like new, fresh Blake Lively drama, not old, resurfaced Blake Lively.
Well,
drama.
It's new information in the court case.
They keep tracking each other down and touching each other, and it just won't stop.
They're rubbing bumps.
So essentially, ten.
They're bumping rumps.
Ten of Blake
bumping
Lively.
Bumping rumps.
Dear Lord. So 10 of Blake Lively's allegations against Justin Baldoni have been
10 allegations
have been thrown out.
Oh my God.
There are three that still have to go in front of a jury, and that's only because the judge is like, I literally can't do anything. A jury has to decide on this. So there's three left, and they all have to do with retaliation as opposed to sexual harassment. So the judge
is it one for each finger? Is that how these cases go?
I don't even know how to respond to that in a way that won't.
You're limited to 10 no matter what, but you're
index finger, innocent, pinky, guilty.
So it's 10 sexual harassment claims that have been thrown out by a judge, but there's three retaliatory claims that have to go before a jury. Oh. Rebecca, thoughts?
I mean, the headline is very flashy, but if you actually look into what the judge is saying, it's very interesting. I mean, her claims are not dismissed based on merit. They're being dismissed based on technicalities, like because the filming was done in New Jersey, because she is technically a contract employee rather than like a actual employee under Baldoni and the production company. She cannot sue and claim that she was sexually harassed, which is really interesting. The judge made comments about what qualifies as sexual harassment when you are an actor, and there has to be like sort of leeway in scenes where things are not, I guess, decided upon, and people act in the moment, and actors need to be able to be free. And to me, I think that's a really questionable judgment, because how do you qualify what is sexual harassment when it's two artists who are in a space and one has said that they are uncomfortable? I think that's something that's really complicated. I feel like it's something that like would be difficult to, I mean, there's a reason why sexual harassment charges are so difficult to pin down. I think Blake Lively's entire team made some weird fucking decisions with this whole contract breach that she claimed when she didn't sign the contract. I don't understand what they were trying to do with that. Do I think that she was sexually harassed? I don't know. This ruling doesn't make me think that she wasn't sexually harassed. I think that she didn't have enough legal evidence to make the claim that she was, which is why it's not going in front of a jury. Clearly, she has enough evidence per the judge to claim that he retaliated and that he harassed, not harassed her, but basically like retaliated and went after her after this was all said and done. Yeah, that's all I really got to say. Jenny Slate hates him, and so I hate him, because Marcel Lachelle would not lead me down the wrong path.
Wait,
that's all I can.
Are you a Jenny Slate stan?
Oh, girl, I love Jenny Slate. She is so funny. She's so cute. Marcel Lachelle is like one of my favorite movies. I watch it as much as Jackson watches Interstellar.
Be careful.
I know. Now I'm scared. Next time I watch it, I will pass out and I will turn into a snail. But yeah, the power dynamic I think is interesting. I think that's a really interesting conversation about what really went down on set, how she felt, because obviously she is a big movie star and she took a really hands-on role in this movie. He's the director. There's so many like ways you could kind of look at this, which is why I think it's so polarizing. But yeah, I'd love to hear what you got to say, Abigail.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. And listen, like, I love to support a woman, but I think what really was the big turning point for me in this case was when she was listing out all of the when she was listening out all the time she felt like she was experiencing sexual harassment, and then Justin Baldoni had like footage to show what was going on. When I was watching it, I was like, this doesn't seem like this is the same context of what she was describing in her complaint against him. So that for me is really what made me think this feels really shady. This feels very bizarre. And I feel like I saw more evidence against him being retaliated against by her than I saw him retaliating against her. Like, she's the one that brought all of this to the forefront in December with that New York Times expose. And I felt like that was a little bit shady. But listen, if at any point the judge is like, we've seen the evidence and something was amiss on that set, I'm ready to rally for my girl Blake Lively. Like, I've literally had no reason to not stand up for this woman, but I don't believe that in this environment she didn't have the upper hand in this production. I don't really know what any kind of motive would be. Again, ready to stand up for a woman at any point in time, but I don't know. Based off of what I read and what I've seen, it seemed real shady on her end. So when I saw that 10 of the claims got knocked out, I was like, shout out Baldoni. It seems like the judges sided with him.
I don't know. I think I don't speak legalese, even though I come from a whole family of lawyers. So I wish I had put this in front of my sister, who did take a look at all of this months ago when it was all coming out, because I think it's so interesting what the greater population sees in this whole case and what's like really going on, because I think it can be, I think that there is kind of a discrepancy between the actual truth and what happened. Mm-hmm. It's so he said, she said, you know, it's difficult to say whether Blake Lively was actually uncomfortable on set. Like, when you talk about that video where she claims that she was uncomfortable and you're watching it and you're like, okay, I don't see this. This is not, mm-hmm. this is not how I'm receiving this. To me, I think I feel very passionate about not siding with Blake, but I feel very passionate about hearing her out, giving her the benefit of the doubt and believing what she is saying, because there has been such a strong backlash to her coming out with all of this information, with coming out with all of these claims. And I think it's because she is a fucking annoying, spoiled brat, celebrity elite bitch. Okay, yes, that's all true. But all of that, all of those things about her, all of her flaws, does not make her someone who cannot be victimized, cannot be sexually harassed. And so I feel like people are looking for this perfect victim. Mm-hmm. And I think that is, I just find that extremely problematic. I think it's really frustrating as a woman that it feels like it has to be totally cut and dry, black and white. This is what happened. I'm the victim. He's evil. And that's the only way you can be believed, that you were sexually harassed. That's why I feel like I'm caping so hard for Blake Lively, because I believe that Justin Baldoni is kind of a freak. Like,
is it the man bun?
He seems smarmy as hell, and like, no shade, but like, men who prop up like feminism on their shoulders, that is their number one thing. They're writing, they're making podcasts about it. They're writing articles. They're being awarded like man, woman of the year, like whatever the fuck. Like, I love women. A lot of them are not great. They're fucking weirdos, and they use this like platform of feminism as a facade to not let people in and see that they're kind of shitty. And on set, it seems like a lot of the people who were around him, at least, I don't know if they felt similar to what Blake felt, but they clearly like had misgivings about him. And not to bring it back to Jenny Slate, as I always do and always will, but I trust like the other women on set and the other women who've been around him who think he's kind of a shady person. So do I think that Blake Lively maybe like what was like financially injured to the tune of $160 million? Probably not. I don't know. That's hard to like qualify. But I do want to believe her when she comes out with these claims. And honestly, this sort of judgment doesn't make me believe that it didn't happen, that she wasn't sexually harassed. Not having enough evidence to go in front of a court doesn't mean it didn't happen. It just means you don't have enough evidence, and you need strong evidence to be able to put this in front of a jury, and clearly she didn't have it.
Mikey Jackson.
I don't.
Any thoughts?
All right. I'm still trying to figure out who the guy and the girl is. Jackson, you yeah. are Judge Gregolia, and it is your mission.
Presiding.
It is your ruling that will decide who sexually harassed who.
Guilty.
Straight to jail.
He's like, who's
I say take it to the
you?
Streets.
Yeah.
Sexually relaxed.
I was just going to say that I love legalese food.
Lebanese. I thought you were again, American. Jackson.
Jackson's over there still stoned as hell from his Interstellar experience, and he's like, maybe if everyone was just a little bit more sexually relaxed, no one would get sexually harassed.
That's a bumper sticker.
Put that on a bumper sticker. Put that on Mikey's gravestone.
Stone at that.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of conjecture and conjuncture.
Yeah.
So that's my ruling.
Yeah. Thank you guys for your legal proceedings. I appreciate that. Okay, well, now that we've moved past the Blake Lively drama of it all, I have to know whether or not I have any legal rights in my own home. Speaking of court cases, because I would like to take my parents to court, and that would be the court of public opinion. So I am currently living in my parents' second home in Tampa, which makes me feel like the most pretentious biatch in the, which wow. I understand. I know.
Rich girl alert.
Guys, I literally know. Please know I am not true to this. I am new to this. This was very much.
Put that on a bumper sticker.
Literally, I'm just hitting bars today. I don't know where this money came from because I certainly didn't have any access to this when I was growing up. I don't know if the stock market went up. I'm not sure what's happening. Anyway, I'm living in my parents' second house. And so it's lovely. I mean, 90% of the time, I have this great townhouse in a centrally located area of Tampa Bay. It's a two-bedroom, so my parents come and they visit a couple times a month. There's lots of room for my cats, natural sunlight. It's great. However, here is the one downside, other than them visiting whenever they please. My parents are, how you say, stalkers of their children.
Mm-hmm.
And I recently deleted them from Find My Friends because I didn't like them. Nobody has my location. I don't like people following me. You don't need to know.
I think I have your location right now.
Okay. Yeah, did you take your location away from me?
I know, because I think I have yours too. Okay.
I'm about to track you right now.
I know you guys aren't looking at what I'm doing, okay? You guys aren't like checking my location constantly. My mom and I actually know certain friends of mine look at my location constantly, so I had to get rid of it. So
I'm going to start texting you randomly and being like, beach at this time? Really?
You guys are a little worse.
She did take me off of it. So bad news there.
I don't know. I don't know why I don't have Mikey, but are you sure I have you guys?
I don't know. Pretty sure. I'm going to look right now. Here, you can keep talking as I look.
Okay. So anyway, I've removed my parents from Find My Friends. I'm like, you guys know I'm in Tampa. Like, I'm a grown
woman. There you are. I see you right there.
Okay, so yeah, I'm at home. So anyway,
So it's just me. Abby, put me back on there. Seriously. That's Mikey, not cool.
Mikey, you don't need to know where I am. Yes, I do.
How am I going to keep you safe? I don't even know where you are.
Mikey, where would my location have to be for you to be concerned? Like, you would see my location and you go, up. Oh, I need to send her a text.
Probably the middle of the ocean. I'd be like, something might be going down.
If I'm in the middle of the ocean, you better believe I'm having the best time. I'm on somebody's yacht. I'm doing okay. I'm shaking ass on a boat somewhere. So
on your parents' second yacht?
On my parents' second yacht. So anyway, I removed them off Find My Friends. And to my dismay, my parents decided, well, I'm glad we have these. My parents decided to get Ring cameras for both the front of the house and the back of the house. It's a townhouse, so like you only just need the front and the sides, or the front and the back. And I'm like, oh, this is so great. Like, I love feeling secure in this house. This is my first time like living in a house in a really long time. I like to have the extra security. However, I do feel as though my parents are plotting to watch my every move. Because my dad randomly, last time he comes to visit, goes, hey, Abby, I know we just installed this very expensive irrigation system in the front of our house, but I need you to water the plants once a day. So I need you for 5 minutes, go to the front of the house, stand in front of the Ring camera and water the big ass palm tree that we have. And I go, okay, that's specific, but whatever you say. And I've noticed every time I go out to water this damn palm tree, I get a text from my dad, bing. And he goes, how's the palm tree? How are the aloe plants? And I realized, because my mom will text me when I come home too, and she'll go, how was your day? To the point where I'm like, I understand I have no right to complain considering I'm living in this house for free, but I do feel as though, as a 28, 29-year-old woman, I do have some right to privacy and autonomy, and I would like for my parents to remove the Ring camera app from their phones, or at least turn the alerts off.
Ooh. Okay, wait. Which part bothers you more? Is it the fact that they have checked in on you regularly when they get the notification, or is it the fact that they can just see you at all?
Both. It's not that they can see me at all. It's the fact that they have the notifications on, and I know that they're looking at it every time I go home. So I essentially feel like I'm being watched by my parents all the time, which I know.
Let me throw this out there. Mm-hmm. Is this possible? Does it actually matter if you're being watched all the time, or is it in the event you had somebody over?
Well,
that you would be like, oh, my parents are definitely going to see this.
Well, I'll get into that because I do feel a little just violated on an independent level. Because first of all, we already knew it was a little bit of a thing for me to move to Tampa where my whole family is. And I've really enjoyed living in a city away from them because it felt like, you know, I have a city that's mine and I have my people in Atlanta. And so coming to Tampa was kind of hard because I'm like, okay, well, now I'm in the city where all my family is. So I feel like I'm giving up a little bit of independence there on the top. And on top of that, I'm living in my parents' house and they can come whenever they want. So on top of that, with them like watching me constantly, I just kind of feel like I've lost a sense of self, if that makes sense, which I know is maybe a little dramatic. And then on top of that, yeah, it has crossed my mind to where it's like, I can't ever have a dude over because my mom's going to be like, oh, I saw that he came over at 7 and left at 5 a.m. What are you up to? And my dad has it. It'd be one thing for my mom to have it. See, my dad, see every dude I bring over. Not that I have like hoes in constantly, but if I ever wanted to have
five
him
days
over,
a week.
You know.
Do you have an open sign?
No, I have a security sign.
I fear I can relate to this on a molecular level because I've been living with my parents for some time now. I'm moving out, thank fucking God, in May, and I'm so excited. But this Christmas...
Where are you going?
I'm going somewhere. Actually, I need you guys to help me figure out where I should go. It depends on a couple of things, but we'll talk about it eventually. We'll talk about it. My aunt bought my parents a Ring camera. They never, ever, ever said they ever wanted one. They never showed any interest in having a Ring camera. And my aunt bought them a Ring camera for Christmas this last year. So Aunt Lisa is my fucking op, obviously. And ever since, listen, I'm boring. So it's not like I'm like worried about going in and out or like having people over. They know Kyle's coming over. They're excited. They love it. My problem is that I love Sweet Hut. Like a lot, the Korean bakery that is in Atlanta, and Sweet Hut is really far away, and I don't want to drive there, so I get Sweet Hut delivered like kind of a lot, and they didn't know that I was doing that, and they get really mad about me spending money on coffee deliveries, but I want my Sweet Hut coffee, and now they see it every time they see the driver pull up and put the coffee on the stoop, and I can't get my Sweet Hut coffee anymore.
It's your money.
Driver details.
Why would they have any opposition to that? It's literally your money.
They hate to see me spending money. Oh my God. They hate it. They want me to save every single dime that I have.
I'm with them. If my girlfriend was ordering something every day, I would lose my mother-loving mind.
I am not ordering it every day. I'm ordering it like every...
Three times a week.
No.
Three times a week. Be honest with yourself. Look at your history. It's definitely three times a week.
If I had to think about it, I think it's probably once a week.
Oh, you're lying to yourself? You are lying to yourself.
Honestly, it's like every other week, probably, because I'm scared because they're going to get mad at me.
I never do it. Honestly, this is a non-issue. I don't even know why I brought this up.
Not that bad. Are you kidding me? Like, the amount of money you're probably spending to get a sweet treat is the same that someone would spend to go to a bar. This is just your indulgence. This is your vice.
It truly is because the Vietnamese coffee, 125% sweetness, is the one thing that I feel like I still have going for in my life, and I need that.
Yeah, if you make it that sad, then fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, the girl.
Get the damn coffee.
The girl can't have wine. Life. Let her have her Vietnamese coffee.
I need a vice, and it's that coffee that I love so much, and now they see it every time, and they get mad every single time. And it's very upsetting to me. I think they did turn off the alerts though recently because they got, I think they got sick of being mad at me. They didn't want to see it anymore.
See, that's what I mean. I feel like this would be a good middle ground for me to bring to my parents, even though I know that they're just going to lie and say that they did it and not change anything. But I'm fine with them having the Ring camera. Just turn off the freaking alerts. Stop. Yeah. Why do you? It is so stalkery to me to thinking that every time I approach the house, my mom is watching me because I know she's doing that because she got nothing else going on except for those dogs and going to Target.
Why do they have to have the Ring camera at all?
That's
if you're living there. Can't the access just be to you? Because if she really's got nothing going on, it's not the alerts that are going to stop her. She's going to be like, see what Abby did from 12 o'clock a.m. to 12 o'clock p.m.
She claims it's like a security thing because she was like, well, I saw the neighbor look over into our yard last week. And I go,
oh my God.
Okay, was there...
Did she just sit there and watch the live feed like 24/7?
Well, because it gets an alert anytime it senses motion. So she's like, I saw our neighbor and I had to text her and ask her what she saw in our yard. And neighbor said that she saw nothing.
Oh, my God.
And so
it's the most annoying alert tone, too. It's like a bunch of chimes. It's really annoying. I used to have my alerts on. Oh, it gets to you.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I enjoyed having it when I, you know, lived alone in Atlanta because it was a safety feature. And also, you see some real characters in your apartment building. But for me, this just feels like a real invasion of privacy because I know my parents and they're psycho. And I know that they're watching me on the Ring camera every time I approach the house.
So even if you were to bring this up with them and tell them that you feel like your freedom is being stifled and whatever, and saying that they can keep it, but just turn off the notifications, even then, knowing that they won't do that, but maybe they won't bug you as much, is still not enough.
Well, it's not, they're not really bugging me that much. Like every now and then they'll text me and it's just a reminder that they have the alerts on. But because they're not bugging me all the time. It's more of a sense of a loss of independence, which I know the answer to that is, well, Abby, if you care so much, then just move into you know how expensive these freaking apartments are in Tampa? I would be spending double just to have a single bedroom apartment in the same area in Tampa. It's the rent here is crazy.
Ultimately, the question is that payment worth the...
No. Of course not.
It's not.
You just got a little gripe.
You got a gripe. It's annoying. For sure it's annoying, mm-hmm. but your parents' house, your parents' rules, there's not a whole lot that you can do.
Yeah,
it's a compromise for free rent, unfortunately.
We need to conjure up a plan rid of the Ring camera. You need to be doing outside work with a hammer and trip and fall and just smash that thing.
No, I have an even better plan that has no damage caused. All you need to do is take a look at your Ring camera if you have access to it. Take a screenshot of like what you see. And then print out a big poster.
That was my idea. Literally thinking that exact thing.
Plant it outside so you can always see it. Like have a nighttime one and have a daytime one.
But this is how crazy I got with it because I went to ChatGPT. I'm like, so how can I trip the camera so it'll stop recording? So like I was trying to think like literally like if I want to bring like a dude home, I'm like, do I need to step in front of the camera and it'll stop recording after 5 seconds and then he can come up? Or should I like stand in front of the Ring camera and usher him inside?
I got it. I got it figured out. You need a neighborhood boy on payroll. And if it comes to the point where you're going to bring a guy home, you text this neighborhood boy and you say, get over there. He brings his paintball gun, shoots the camera. It is out of commission for the night. In the morning, you go and clean it.
This is great.
He wears a mask.
Thank you for the suggestions. This is great. He wears a mask.
Speaking of security, I just have one more thing and then we can close out.
Okay.
And I did something today that I'm kind of regretting. And I want you guys to tell me if you think I'm in immediate danger, because I did, I think, the one thing that you are 100% not supposed to do when you are dog sitting for someone in a stranger's house.
Have sex with your boyfriend and let the dogs fight each other.
Been there, done that, Mikey. No. Okay, here's what happened. So I'm alone. Kyle can't come with me. Kyle's not here. I'm alone dog sitting in this lovely house with a lovely dog, having a great time. Everything's cool. They like told me when people would come by, like, oh, your guy comes on Tuesday, like blah, blah, blah. Trash is on, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, okay, cool. Well, I hear the dog barking today while I'm working. And I walk up to the door because the dog just stays outside in the front on an electric fence for most of the day. And I'm trying to get the dog inside because there's a young man outside in the driveway. And he says, hey, I'm here to, like, I wasn't even really listening to what he was saying. He was like, I'm here, like, for to treat your yard. If I see any weeds, I'll blah, 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 I'll do whatever. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Sounds good. And I went to go try to grab the dog, and it was hard to grab her because she's, like, a huge fucking dog, and try to get her inside. And he was, like, helping me get her inside so he could treat the lawn. And he said, oh, how old is she? And I said, I don't know. I just met her today. I'm dog sitting.
And the door code is 2976.
Oh, yeah, that's no good.
And then, like, 10 minutes later, I'm sitting down, and I'm like, oh, wait. You're not supposed to tell people when you're dog sitting or house sitting. I basically just, like, advertised, yeah, I'm a girl alone in this big house.
You did nothing to, like, remedy it, like, later on, try to strike conversation and be like, oh, but, you know, they're coming home.
But my mom's now in the shower.
He was gone.
I lied to you. I don't know why I lied to you, but this is my home, and I have lots of guns.
No, he literally was, like, out. He was gone, like, within, like, I sat there.
Yeah, you had to go tell the neighborhood.
No, I didn't think about it.
Round up his boys.
I know. What the fuck? I literally didn't think about it, like, until, like, 15 minutes later, and then by then he was long gone. So he didn't give me, like, a weird vibe. Vibe or anything, otherwise I would never have said that. But yeah, I'm like, okay, hopefully I'm not in danger tonight.
You know what's gonna happen is the owners are gonna come home and you're gonna be like, yeah, the lawn guy came by on Monday, and they're gonna be like, we don't have a lawn guy.
Oh my god. Duh.
If something happened, this would be shown in court. That'd be pretty sick, huh?
That's fine. Yeah,
for sure. More evidence than Blake Lively had. Uh-oh.
You guys are gonna be on Dateline.
Everyone's,
you guys ever seen a guy? Have you guys ever seen a guy drink a quarter gallon of milk on a podcast? Give it up.
That's not milk, is it?
Come
that?
On.
Is that not,
it's
like
milk, baby?
Why did you drink so much milk?
I love it.
Stand up. Everybody stand up. Start clapping.
Yay.
Woo! Tug, tug,
thank you.
Tug.
Thank you.
All right, you guys.
I'm going half gallon next week.
All right, well, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Personality Hires Podcast, your favorite coworker's favorite podcast. Please send all of your office drama to personalityhirespodcast@gmail.com.
Or regular drama.
Or regular drama. And then also to Personality Hires Podcast on Instagram.
Pioneer.